I'm Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. Candidate for Governor Ed Humphries joins me here in the studio. Thanks for coming by today.
Yeah, Elise, thanks for having me in.
So I read a bit about your story to becoming a gubernatorial candidate on your website. Would you mind sharing a bit of that story with our audience?
For me, I had just come to a point and realized that the professional politicians really are going, they have been destroying this country, but they're going to destroy Idaho, and we're adopting a lot of policies that I believe run counter to our own values. And the one that is most unnerving for me, and one I think university students in particular should be aware of, is we're starting to adopt this idea that subject matter experts are more qualified to make decisions. So the government empowers them to make decisions for us. That is one of the core tenets of a socialist-style government. And when they start making, for instance, medical decisions, those things will spread to other areas of our life, and we're seeing that. So I felt compelled to step up because I didn't know anyone else that identified this for what it is and wanted to combat it. And I'm more sensitive to it than most because my family came from an Eastern European communist country. They lived under those dictates and that nightmare, and they came to America for the whole idea of freedom and the American dream. And we have to start educating people on that because we're walking away from some of our most sacred birthright.
Your story kind of goes along with that statement of the American dream. You grew up in different circumstances that you're in now. How has your growing up influenced the way that you look at policy and the way that you view government's role?
I love this question. I mean, the way I grow, it's everything. And the reason for that is because I haven't been in an echo chamber with a host of corporate lobbyists and subject matter experts who explain to me how the world works. And then I conduct myself according to that. I've lived it, right? I'm one of the everyday Idahoans that are living out our lives. And we care about things like making sure the roads are in great condition and that we have good law enforcement and the like. And so I don't get as caught up in all the fluff that I think gets promoted oftentimes down at the state house that actually doesn't benefit us and only benefits the politically connected. But, you know, a little bit about my story. I mean, when I was 4 years old, we were in Arizona and we had a tarp and a garden hose for a shower. And there were six of us in an 18-foot travel trailer. So, you know, I often joke, I can't say that I had nothing because we did have a tarp, right? But that opportunity to grow up in poverty and then see my family elevate their standard of living in my life, you know, 13 years ago, I was living in a rundown trailer park, right, in Western Colorado, and I've been able to elevate my standard of living as well. And that's what's important. People just want those opportunities to reach for their own potential.
What are some ways that you think that Idaho state government can empower citizens of Idaho to do that, to live for their potential?
The reality is we have to create an environment where people are free to make decisions for themselves and exercise their agency, right? That's the whole purpose of existence, is we are here to grow, we are here to make decisions. And it's interesting to me that we're now, and even members of the church, right, are getting more comfortable with these ideas that, you know, we actually shouldn't make decisions for ourselves. Other people should make decisions for us. But let's talk about the whole pattern. I mean, that was Lucifer's plan from the beginning, right? You don't have freedom. I'm going to make sure you are where you're supposed to be. And we're practicing that here in Idaho state government. And so what I think needs to happen is we need to move, well, one, right, out of the state of emergency that we've been in for almost 700 days now. I don't know if you could call something an emergency that lasts, you know, 700 days, but here we are. The governor just renewed it again on January 7th. And it's all, I always say in politics, if you want the truth, then follow the money. So what I believe we need to do is we need to enact school choice so that families and parents can choose how and where their kids get educated, their tax dollars can follow them to the school of their choice. I believe we should abolish the state income tax and defund a lot of the anti-American activists that now operate off of our tax dollars that promote these ideas like gender fluidity, that there are infinite genders out there and the like. That's funded by our tax dollars. We have to bring that kind of stuff to an end, and I think we'll have an environment where we'll be able to flourish.
On Monday, Governor Little addressed the legislature in his State of the State address. What were your thoughts on some of the things he said and the ideas that he proposed for the spending of the $1.6 billion surplus? I don't know if you have thoughts on how that money should or shouldn't be used to benefit Idahoans.
I read the State of the State address, and the one thing after reading the 9 pages, I just thought, wow, that was just 9 pages of saying more status quo. This is why the professional politicians have become problematic, because year over year they do the same thing over and over and expect different results. Education is particularly interesting because the whole concept, his whole plan is, well, if we just keep throwing more and more money at the system, things will improve. And yet year over year we keep doing that. The teachers aren't seeing raises. We're not seeing those gains that we would like to see in literacy and the like. Here's my idea. Let's have a robust network of private schools and charter schools and micro schools and homeschool families, and let tax dollars follow those kids. Then we will have the free exchange of ideas, and I believe we will have parents that get even more involved in their kids' education, and then teachers would make so much more under that kind of a system. And so we need to do something different if we want different results. But more important than anything, I would say give it back to the people. Give it back to us to live out our lives. That will juice Idaho's economy, and it will prevent the government from continuing to grow at the clip it has. I mean, there's 1.8 million people in the state of Idaho. We have over 200 governmental bodies in the state government. It's obscene what it has grown to. So we need to shrink that and cut taxes.
Looking at your hypothetical first, say, 100 days in office, what actions would you take from the get-go to break from this status quo and make the changes that you hope to see?
On day one as governor, I would ban any state agency from hiring lobbyists. This is part of the problem, is we have a system that benefits the politically connected, and they make great money off of it. They want to preserve it in its current state. I'm going to start to break apart some of the corrupt practices that we've gotten very used to. It is not appropriate for our state government to employ corporate lobbyists for the sake of lobbying our government. Think of this idea. You pay your taxes, and then these individuals that surround the governor and get paid incredible sums of money from these corporations to change our laws for those corporations' benefits, they can then go get hired by these state agencies so that those agencies can have them go and promote that agency needs less oversight and a bigger budget. That's a crazy use of our tax dollars, and it's quite corrupt if you really think about it. That has to come to an end. Also, on day one as governor, I would ask that the budget for every agency in our state government be brought to me. I'm a finance guy. We need a governor who can follow the money. That's how we'll get to the truth of things. And bring in a box of red pens, because the governor in the state has line item veto power. If you look at Ronald Reagan when he was governor in California in the late 60s, early 70s, he wielded the line item veto almost 1,000 times, and it to incredible effect. Our governor in this state has that power, yet it is almost never leveraged. I can't even find the last time a governor used the line item veto. We need to bring that back. And the last thing I'll say is the governor appoints 7 out of 8 members of the State Board of Education. I would restructure our Board of Education to support school choice and to combat these political agendas that are being carried out in a lot of our schools.
What would you say to voters who look at Idaho, hear what politicians are saying, and think, Idaho's already deregulated, right? Why do we need a change? We live in a conservative state. What would you say to those people who maybe are on the fence?
I would say that there are many more aspects than business regulation. For instance, here's something that more people need to know. Boise State University, funded by our tax dollars, has a racial inventory quiz. And one of the questions on that quiz asks, which event led to the rise of the idea of white supremacy? And according to Boise State University, the correct answer, what they're teaching students, is it's the Declaration of Independence. This is an assault on the very character and foundation of this nation. And by the way, for my brothers and sisters in the church, we believe that document was inspired of God. This is an assault on our core belief system. And that's just one of many examples. I could give you an example, particularly at the education level. The Idaho Education Association, which is the most powerful political entity in the state and really dominates education in the state of Idaho, they have a course that they're offering to teachers. And in the course, it says that the whole idea is that our classrooms should primarily serve the interests of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students. And they even call the course Teaching the Rainbow, right? And they say, people are realizing younger and younger that they can choose their gender. And they're basically telling the teachers to be involved in this process. Again, another fundamental assault on our values. I could go on for hours about the things our state government is doing to fund our own destruction, but we have to understand, look, we love, deregulation. We want businesses to be able to conduct themselves in a free and fair manner, but we also can't fund our own destruction, right?
You mentioned a little earlier on the topic of regulation, deregulation, the state of emergency, and the government's response to COVID. What are your thoughts on Idaho's response to COVID?
Idaho's response to this pandemic, in my opinion, has stretched out for, we're in a state of emergency now for almost 700 days. It's because of the money. And look, I know many of us want to have faith in our institutions and that they're all carrying out their duty as they've been given from the beginning. But the reality is we're not seeing that, and we've been betrayed in a lot of ways. And COVID, I think, in particular, has revealed that. And here's a perfect example of that. We have turned over, between state and federal money, hundreds of millions of dollars of our taxpayer money, right, to these large healthcare systems, right? And I want you to think about the different watermarks. We hit the high watermark with COVID, and then we hit the next high watermark with the Delta variant. Well, during COVID, we turned over these hundreds of millions of dollars to expand our treatment capacity to ensure that our families and our communities were protected. Yet when the Delta variant came around, there were a total of 100 more patients. That's in the whole state. There was 100 more than the previous high. And we had to go into crisis standards of care. We had to activate the National Guard. The hospitals couldn't keep up. Here's my one question about all the money that circulated around this issue. What did they do with it? I think we all deserve an answer to that question. And I will tell you, the financials for the largest healthcare system in this state were leaked to me. And I'm here to tell you right now, this is one of the biggest scams that has ever been pulled on the American people. And one day people will see it for what it is, because the money doesn't lie. There's no gray area there. It's black and white. Either you expanded the treatment capacity to address this pandemic, or you used it to benefit your own organization and the people in it. And those are two very different things. And when we look at the executives of some of these healthcare systems, they ought to be investigated. And I've publicly called for an investigation in the healthcare executives, because people like my wife that work at the hospital were completely betrayed. And so were many of the patients in a lot of ways. That needs to be addressed.
Wow. Part of your platform is empowering individuals that, well, sorry, let me restate that. A principle that you say forms your platform is empowering individuals benefits society. How would you say that this statement that empowering individuals benefits society would guide the decisions that you would make as governor of Idaho?
The question comes down to, do we believe people should be empowered to make decisions for themselves, or do we believe the government should make decisions for them? I believe in freedom. I believe in personal liberty. And when we encourage that and empower people, what will happen is they will go on their own personal journey of self-improvement as they reach for their potential. As they go on that journey, they will improve their own lives. They will improve the lives of the members of their family and the lives of the member of their community. That is a timeless principle that gave us the greatest nation on earth. We have to get back to that principle. It is sacred.
And I'm aware that you have an event coming up here in Rexburg.
Yes, I'll be in Rexburg on the 20th of January at 7:30 p.m. at Spring Hill Suites. Everyone is invited to come. I would love to continue this discussion with you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
I enjoyed it. I hope to come back.
Thank you so much. This has been a conversation with candidate for governor, Ed Humphreys.